The revelation of the book Revelation for 63. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Jehovah's South Africa, Victoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I have written, especially the book, The Two Keys to the Book of Revelation, which is related to the study that we are currently doing. It's an A4, nearly 800 pages thick book. It's even bind in two books because it's too thick to be bind as one book. Because then it weighs about 3.5 kilograms and it's too heavy for any study purposes. So should you require any information about the book, you can contact me at my WhatsApp number, +27 is International Code for South Africa, 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very, very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you have missed out on quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel and also to receive the different notifications of all the studies that we are currently busy with. Please send this link to your friends and family, everyone that is dear to you. Please make sure you have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a notepad ready. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the name of Yahushua. And we will continue where we left off last week. The token of the covenant. The token of the covenant. Verse 11. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the token of the covenant between me, that's Yahweh Almighty, and you. It is important to take note of what part of the body must be circumcised. It's not the arm. It's not the hand. No. It's the foreskin. Why is foreskin? Can you tell? Why would it be the foreskin? This is the proof that the covenant between Yahweh Almighty and Abram was only between the males or the men of Israel. This proves that there is no girl or lady that has a foreskin, and that this is a boys-only covenant, or men-only covenant. Do we understand that? Man-child. So, there was no chance for the woman to be saved in this arrangement, because it was for the men only. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you, me, Yahweh. This part of the scripture confirms the fact that this covenant was not relevant to any other nation in the world. This word set the nation of Israel apart from any Gentile nations that exist. In the following scripture, Yahweh Almighty continues with his instructions to Abram. He says, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. The children of the boys, 8 days old. Now Yahweh Almighty instructed Abram that every boy who is born among them must be circumcised at the age of 8 days old. Every man child in your generation, the instruction from Yahweh Almighty is, every man-child in your generation that is born in the house, he, not she, he who is born in your house, or bought with money of any stranger who's a slave, and they, your slaves, who are bought with money, which is not of your seed. This means strangers, slaves, and all others who are part of Abram's household. His soldiers, everyone, had to be circumcised. The covenant shall be in your flesh. He that is born in thy house And he that is bought without money must need to be circumcised. The scripture confirms that every man or man-child who were part of Abram's household needed to be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh. Hallelujah. Not in your spirit or your soul's dimension. In your flesh, your foreskin. As for an everlasting covenant. Being circumcised in the flesh would remind every man as he grows up that he is part of a very special nation called the nation or the tribe of Israel. What? Yes. This covenant was made in the flesh, but it was to be an everlasting covenant. It had no spiritual connections in any way. It was made in the flesh as a fleshly covenant. Now, studying the following scripture is important to this covenant between Abram and Yahweh Almighty. And the circumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, according to the scripture, is now understand the importance of this matter. I want to read it again. And the circumcised man-child, the babies, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, thou shalt be cut off from his people. If he's not circumcised, he cannot be an Israelite. Although in the time of Abram, there was no Israelites. It will come in time to come. But he cannot be part of the covenant between Abram and Yahweh Almighty. He that broke my covenant, because being not circumcised meant you broke the covenant. Now we understand that the sign of this covenant was a circumcision of the flesh or the foreskin. Every man child 8 days old should be circumcised. Those who did not obey the instructions of this consent was excluded from the blessings and promises that was made to Abram and his seed after him. Understand what was said to Abram makes one understand that the circumcision was only performed on male or boy children. Why? Because the girls do not have a foreskin. That's the reason. Not only that, the woman, according to the Old Testament, was sort of slaves unto the men. They had to obey their husbands. Sarah called Abram my lord, or not lord, master, because the word lord only came later on. Master. And Yahweh today, don't expect the ladies to, they must call us master. No. Women today are equal according to the word. And this is what we will see, how the blood of Yahushua will influence the covenant that was made to Abram by Yahweh only to men. Now my next question. If infant baptism replaced the circumcision, now you must listen. I've said before that especially the Catholic Church came with this statement to say that infant baptism replaced the circumcision in the modern age as a sign of Yahweh, our Elohim's covenant with Abram. So today they don't, the Catholics doesn't circumcise, the Protestants doesn't circumcise, a lot of them they baptize babies. Where does it come from? Comes from the Roman Catholic Church. Now I want to know why, if this is true, that baptism, infant baptism, replaces circumcision, why do you baptize little girls? I can't hear. You see, you don't have an answer. Why do you baptize little girls? The covenant, the sign of the covenant was only with man or boy childs. If the above argument is used, then baptizing or christening girls is totally unscriptural. Oh, but the children receive the sins of the third and the fourth generation. The Bible says of those that hate Yahweh. That's ungodly people. People that christen their children must be Christians, at least, as they call them. Although baptism or immersing is not for children, Mark 16 verse 16 says, he that believeth shall be immersed, shall be baptized. He that does not believe shall be judged. Immersing is not for babies. They don't have sin. They don't have sin. But you see, that became church tradition. Oh yes, it replaced the circumcision. Why baptize little girls? This must make you think. Oh, that's our church tradition. Forget about your church tradition. If it's not scriptural, it's not scriptural. If you know the history of baptism, you will know that child baptism comes from paganism, which played a part in the time of Semiramis and Nimrod, the queen of heaven, the sun god, and Semiramis, the sun god Nimrod, and his mother Semiramis, the queen of heaven. And it also played a role even in Egypt. Bacchus. The next argument is used to justify infant baptism. All children are born with sin. All children are born with sin. To discover the truth or lies about the subject will mean that we'll have to explore different avenues. Studying the word of Yahweh our Elohim, we need to look at different theological documentation, such as books that are used by certain churches and denominations that justify infant baptism, also known as christening. The question is, are all infants born with sin? Not in sin, with sin. Again, we need to study the word of Yahweh to find the true answer. It always amazed me that infant baptisms occurs that the minister or the preacher will always read from the Bible to justify his action. They always use the Bible. You see, the people that stands there does not know the scriptures. It is of utmost importance to study these scriptures carefully to come to the true meaning of the scripture. We need to be understood in the fact. Change one word in a scripture or in a verse, and it will give a different meaning to it if you change one word. That is why it's also important to read from your own Bible when someone else is reading from their Bible. This I teach my first year students. Whenever you are in a conversation with somebody, especially Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and all these guys, read your Bible with them. Because they change a word here and a word there, and it gives total different meaning to the theology or dogma. As we continue with the study now, the question is asked, are infants or children born with sin? What do you say? What do you say? Can children sin? That's my question. Let's read Psalms 51 verse 5. Behold, Behold, I was happen in iniquity, and with sin that my mother conceived me. Did you read what it says? Psalms 51 verse 5. Behold, I was happened in iniquity, and with sin my mother conceived me. After studying this scripture, I have noticed something different. If the above scripture is true, what I've just read, it will mean that every infant is born with sin. And for this reason, even the infants need to be baptized. Have you noticed anything? What have I done? Prof. Honus, can you tell? Yes, I have changed one word in the above scripture, in Psalms 50, I think it's verse 2. 51, verse 5, sorry. I have changed one word in that scripture, which then gives it a total different meaning. You see, now you are sitting there, standing there, you don't have a Bible with you, and I say all infants are born with sin. I'm going to compare the scripture with the Bible. Psalms 51 verse 5. Behold, listen. When I read it the first time, I said they were born with sin. The Bible says, behold, I was happened in iniquity, and in sin, not with sin. In sin. I changed the word from in to with, because that's what the most of the reverence does. They change the word, and the priest and all these guys. I say, and in sin my mother conceived me. According to the second scripture, it states, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What have I done? In the first scripture, I have the word in, I changed the word in to with, which have exactly the opposite meaning. If a child is born in sin, it means he or she is born in a world of sin. This does not mean that the infant has any sins. No. Every child is born in a sinful world. He's not born with sin in a sinful world. He's born, or she is born, in the surroundings of a sinful world. That does not make them sinful. Because that little baby hasn't got a clue he or she even exists. Most of the time when infants are baptized, when reading the scripture according to Psalms 51 verse 5, most of the ministers, preachers will carefully change the word of the scripture without even you knowing it. He will change it from in to with sin. Immediately this makes the parents understand that your child is born with sin. That is why infant need to be baptized. I just like to change my statement. If I say to you that I live in South Africa where there are AIDS, does this mean I have AIDS and everybody else have age? No, surely not. Being born in a sinful world does not mean that the infant have sins. Like I've just said, there is age in South Africa and the rest of the world. And being born in South Africa doesn't automatically say that I have age. You understand that? I must be active in certain actions to receive AIDS. I'm sure you understand normal English. What did Yahweh himself teach about children? Let's just read what is written in the scripture. The mothers brought the children to Yahushua. Mark 10 verse 13 to 16. Mark 10 verse 13 to 16. Very interesting, the studies, eh? See how the church lies? And they, the mothers, that's now Mark 10, 13, and they, the mothers, brought their children to him, who's him, that's Yahushua, that he should touch or bless them. And his disciples rebuke those that brought them, the mothers. Hey, it's important to note that the mothers did not brought their children to Yahushua to be baptized. No. They came to Yahushua for him to touch or bless them. Under no circumstances was any water playing a role in that action. There was no watering which was part of the ceremony. All he did, he laid his hands on them, prayed for them, and blessed them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. What? Yes. The disciples of Yahushua hindered or stopped the mothers who brought their children to Yahushua. How can anybody do this? Let's study the following scripture. Unto them belongs the kingdom of Yahweh, my Father. But when Yahushua saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, these disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Now listen what he says. For such is the kingdom of Yahweh, our Elohim. According to the scripture, we notice how the disciples of Yahushua will not let the children near Yahushua. Where Yahushua was much displeased with this action. When I study the next line of verse 14, I notice some arrogance, irritation. I notice some irritation in the voice of Yahushua. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Why? Making the next statement will make infant baptism total unnecessary. Why? Because he say, for such is the kingdom of Yahweh our Elohim, or Yahweh my Father. If these words of Yahushua can be trusted, they will mean that churches that baptize infants have no biblical mandate. From the Egyptian times, from Nimrod's times, through Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, and they all have pagan rituals where infant baptism played a role. When they would wash the little babies before they offered them unto the sun god Ra in the Egyptian time, Zeus in the Greek time, Isis in the Roman time. So with otherwise, whenever you see a reverend or anybody or a priest baptize children, you will immediately know that he does not have a biblical mandate. He might have a mandate from his church, but it's not a biblical mandate. And they are totally unscriptural. Why? According to Yahweh's own words, these children, when they die, they already have the kingdom of Yahweh, his Father, in them. Otherwise, it will mean that every infant who are not baptized by the church goes straight to hell. Now, the Catholics, Roman Catholic Church, actually confesses or believes that there's two heavens. There's a lower heaven for the children that is not, which has not been baptized, and there's a more superior heaven where there's bigger rewards for the children and babies who were baptized or immersed. While we continue with the study, I will later show you, according to the Roman Catholic's own study handbook for training the Catholic priest, which is called Jesus Christ Among Us. I have one of those. I will not tell how I obtained it about 30 years ago. I will not tell, but I have one of those. And it's full of lies. And those lies are taught to all students or student priests. And they teach that infants or any young children who are not baptized cannot enter the utmost holy sanctuary in heaven. Can you believe that? How is it possible that Yahushua, according to the above scripture, said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to every child? So who's lying to who? The church or Yahushua? Every Jewish child, because the women who brought their children to Yahushua must have been Jewish or Hebrews, because they were from Judea. Were not Gentiles. These Jews or Hebrew children were most probably circumcised, all the boys already. They were definitely no Catholic, Protestants or charismatic children under them, because the Catholic Church only originated 24 after Yahushua died. Protestantism only originated in the 16th century, and the charismatics only in the 20th century. So it's impossible that the children needed to be baptized, because it occurs in three different time periods. We will now read the scriptures according exactly as Yahushua said it. Accept it as a child. Mark 10 verse 15 and 16. Verily I, Yahushua, said unto you. When he says verily, or verily, verily, it means Yahushua, swear it. Verily I, Yahushua, look at my fingers, said unto you, who shall not receive. He says, let me just read again. Verily I, Yahushua, say unto you, who shall not receive the kingdom of Yahweh Elohim as a little child? He or she, it's not just the man, it's also the woman today. Through grace. Through grace. He or she shall not enter therein. Now, as the study continues, we will see how women will gain the right to the promises of Father Abram, which he gave only to the men childs. Whenever I read verily or verily, verily, immediately I know it means that Yahushua was swearing by his father to enforce the statement he is making. Now Yahushua explained what need to be done. Receive the kingdom of Yahweh his father as a little child, we shall never enter therein. He says we must receive the kingdom of Yahweh, his father, as a child. Or otherwise we shall never enter therein. Just in short, what do you understand about the term, the kingdom of Yahweh, my father? What do you say? There are more than 100 different scriptures in the Bible referring to the kingdom of Yahweh, my father. But I'm only going to use a few just to confirm my statement. Who or what is the kingdom of Yahweh Almighty? What do you say? Come, help me quickly. Who or what? Matthew 6 verse 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We can carry on with it. Thy kingdom come, Yahweh's kingdom. Matthew 13:38. The good seed are the children of the kingdom of Yahweh. Continue. I'm not reading the whole scripture. I'm just drawing your attention to the important part. Matthew 13:38. The good seed are the children, doesn't mean the babies that we just spoke about. The bride is the good seed, eh? Of the kingdom of Yahweh our Elohim. Luke 12 verse 31. First seek the kingdom of Yahweh our Elohim and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? First seek the kingdom of Yahweh our Elohim and his righteousness. Every one of those scriptures and the many we have not studied has exactly the very same message. The kingdom of heaven is nothing else than everlasting life. Do you agree with me? For sure. The kingdom is nothing else than everlasting life. Now what I'm going to do, I just want to handle the next one part here. If everything in the statement is true, what have these children in them other than eternal life? So if a child dies, he goes to heaven, whether he's been baptized or not, which is the kingdom of Yahweh, our Elohim. Surely, according to the word of Yahweh, our Elohim, infants and children do not have any sin in them that can prevent them from entering heaven when they die. According to the word of Yahweh, our Elohim, they have everlasting life, whether they've been baptized by any church or not. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop right here. Because it's so interesting. But I think we've picked up quite a bit of information tonight about the lies that are still being taught as the truth concerning baby or infant baptism. Not once in the 1611 King James Bible, the restoration of the original Sacred Noahic Bible, you will show me one scripture where a child was ever baptized. Not once. Now yeah, time has caught up with us. Till next week, if His Father's will. Maranatha. Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.